Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum BVL Digital Podcast. Ich bin euer Host Boris Felgendreher und mein Gast heute ist John Chorley. John ist seit fast 25 Jahren beim US-amerikanischen Softwarekonzern Oracle. Er ist der Chief Sustainability Officer von Oracle und verantwortet zusätzlich als Group Vice President die Strategie für Oracle Supply Chain Management Anwendungen. Ich wollte von John unter anderem wissen, wie sich Oracles Enterprise Software Anwendungen, die auch hier in Deutschland bei sehr vielen Unternehmen im Einsatz sind, im Laufe der Jahre eigentlich so verändert und weiterentwickelt haben und wie es Oracle gelingt, sich nicht auf den Lorbeeren auszuruhen, sondern kontinuierlich den hohen Ansprüchen seiner Kunden gerecht zu werden. Bevor wir loslegen, aber erst einmal unser wöchentliches Global Transport Update, ermöglicht von unserem Partner Project 44, der weltweit führenden Transport Visibility Plattform. Headline in dieser Woche: Chinesische Häfen nach Taifun Shantou wieder geöffnet. Der Taifun Shantou ist zum Glück an den Häfen von Ningbo und Shanghai vorbeigezogen, ohne größere Schäden zu verursachen. Die Häfen sind jetzt wieder geöffnet. Gerade nochmal Glück gehabt, denn jede noch so kleine Unterbrechung verschärft natürlich die ohnehin schon angespannte Lage und die Verzögerung in der Region nochmal zusätzlich. Nach aktuellen Daten von Project 44 ist bei der Anzahl der Schiffe, die den Hafen Xiamen anlaufen, kein signifikanter Rückgang zu verzeichnen. Die tatsächlichen Auswirkungen des Taifuns werden sich jedoch erst in den kommenden Tagen zeigen, nämlich dann, wenn der Hafenbetrieb die Exporte nach Europa im Vorfeld des Weihnachtsgeschäfts wieder aufnimmt. So, das war der Global Transport Update von Project 44 und jetzt kommt John Chorley von Oracle. Dieses Gespräch haben wir auf Englisch geführt. Viel Spaß. Hello, John. Welcome to the BVL Digital Podcast. Thanks for being on the program.
Great to be with you today here, Boris.
I'm excited for the conversation because I know I have an industry veteran in front of me. You've been with Oracle for 24 years, a quarter of a century. That's quite a long time. Tell me about that time.
Yeah, it's sort of, I look back on that and I wonder how that actually happened. But the great thing about working for Oracle for all these years is it's not been the same company. We've continued to evolve as the market has evolved. Mm-hmm. And we've been obviously part of making that evolution happen. And so each year that brings new challenges and new opportunities. So it's been a fun ride.
Yeah, so you started, what, in 1997, if my math is correct?
That's correct, absolutely.
Right before the dot-com bust, dot-com bubble boom, right in the middle of it.
Yeah, that was a fun ride, uh-huh. Kind of interesting. But I think we all learned a lot from that experience. And, you know, since then, of course, things have continued to evolve.
Yeah. So take me through a little bit of the evolution that Oracle or the industry at large has been going through with regards to enterprise software, ERP software, and then supply chain applications in particular. Maybe, I mean, there's quite a bit of change since 1997. Looking back, the way that Oracle systems or SAP systems or Infor systems look back in the days and the way they look today is totally different. Everything's cloud. Take us through some of the major developments and the major evolutionary steps, so to speak, along the path.
Yeah, I mean, we used to say the internet changes everything, and of course it did. And I think that has been a major driver, the internet really enabling more connectivity across the supply chain. And obviously that's key to any supply chain system. But clearly what's happened in the last decade or so has been the move towards cloud. And I would make a distinction too. I would say there's cloud and then there's software as a service. And we're clearly in the software as a service marketplace. We believe in standard software delivered, you know, uniformly to our customers, maintained and managed by Oracle. And that really has been the journey we've been on for over a decade now, building best-in-class, next-generation SaaS, true cloud systems.
Yeah. Maybe talk to us about that distinction. I mean, not everybody sees that clear distinction between cloud and software as a service.
Yeah.
And I always thought that software as a service sort of apart. So cloud is more elaborate and more bigger, and it's infrastructure and data hosted in the cloud. And where software as a service, just I'm just renting the software and it just plays somewhere else. But talk to us about the crucial differences as you see them.
Yeah, well, obviously Oracle has a broad and complex business. We service lots of different aspects of technology and applications. We obviously still service on-premise capabilities as well. But our focus has been cloud, delivering cloud solutions. And that means essentially, hosting the environment, running the software, continuing to evolve the software, and providing access to that through, you know, online methods, through the internet. Now, within that, as you rightly say, there's the SaaS business, which is developing standardized software that can be deployed centrally or within our environments, made available to our customers, through the internet, and for that software to be essentially a common code base with obviously all of the capabilities required inside that to enable people to implement it in different ways, to adapt it to their particular business needs, but to have a common code base that can continually be updated and move forward with the innovations that we develop and deliver. And then obviously to provide that through a subscription mechanism. I do think that, some companies, not Oracle, but some companies have used that word cloud in order to essentially move their standard existing solutions and simply wrapper it in some element of contractual software as a service ideas. But to really succeed in this space, you have to really, go back to square one and reinvent that software so that it is able to evolve continuously without disruption to the customers. It is able to support a wide variety of business needs with a single code base. It does have all the extensibility built in. It does have all of the security, obviously, absolutely critical, all of the security mechanisms built in. It does have all of the ways of interacting with that software without violating that security. And that really does require a bit of a fundamental rethinking of that software, redevelopment of that software. And as I said, that's the journey Oracle has been on now for well over a decade. And we've had, as they say in America, a lot of at-bats, a lot of work in delivering that, and learned tremendously in that experience. And we folded that into our software as a service solutions.
Yeah, and you were just mentioning earlier, there are still some holdouts. There are still some people that have on-premise solutions. What percentage is that currently, roughly speaking?
Oh, we still have a substantial number of our customers who have some or all solutions still on-premise. That journey is a long journey. We do understand that, which is part of the reason why we have our Applications Unlimited strategy, which really essentially commits to support customers in their current environments, for as long as they need in order to make the transition. Mm-hmm. And I think that the, that transition is obviously well underway with most of our customers having some elements of our cloud solutions, but clearly it's going to take some time. There's a lot of embedded applications out there still delivering value, and we've made it very clear that we're committed to continuing to support that.
Yeah, obviously here at BVL we're very entrenched in the German market. Is your German client base more inclined towards on-premise or more open to cloud, or is it? I know there's been a time when there was some sort of cloud skepticism in the market, particularly here in Western Europe and in Germany. How has that changed over time?
I think that skepticism is understandable to some degree. I think that if you look at the history of cloud software as a service, it was really aimed at a way of short-circuiting some of the holdups people were seeing within their on-premise applications. So somebody in a division would say, hey, look, I can go and get this SaaS solution. I can use some of my operational expenses to pay for that. I don't need to go to get capital budget. And I can somewhat insulate myself from the centralized IT group who may be moving slower than I'd like. So that was the sort of original genesis, I think, of some of these cloud investments. And what you saw there was really investments and development in departmental solutions, or solutions that weren't really running the fundamental operations of the business. HCM is obviously a great example. To some degree, Salesforce automation, again, was a clear example. But as you start looking at things like ERP and supply chain, you're really talking about the guts of the business, the core of the business, the survivability of the business.
Yeah.
And those things become a lot more a lot more important to get right, and a lot more important to think about in a broader strategic sense. So you need to make sure that you don't create these islands of SaaS solutions that together don't make sense, don't work well together. And I think that that sort of step from, you know, a tactical approach to cloud to a strategic approach to cloud has been what we've seen over the last, you know, several years. And I think, you know, the success of that has really helped to reduce the concern around, you know, the viability of cloud as a as an enterprise operating environment. And certainly now we see for our ERP solutions, for example, you know, it is really the only solution folks are considering. If they're looking at any kind of change, it's a change towards a SaaS-based ERP solution. And that is increasingly becoming also true of supply chain.
Yeah, I think one of the sort of reservations or concerns that people had, I can speak for the German market here and German executives in the in the market here, is always around security and privacy, data privacy. And I know a lot of your competitors, a lot of other large US-based cloud providers have moved to building data centers in Europe, right? Or in Germany itself, like Amazon Web Services, for example. Have you taken a similar path? Have you started to move move some of your data centers over here?
Yeah, we have data centers all over the world. And part of that is obviously resiliency. It's the ability to support growth. But, it, you know, there's an element too where it's related to, you know, the legal requirements about where the data needs to be held. And so, you know, we obviously recognize those requirements and respond accordingly. But I think, you know, more broadly about security, you know, for us, security is, you know, an existential requirement. I mean, we will succeed or not succeed based on our ability to deliver that security. And I think one of the core strengths of Oracle is a history of being a very secure environment. And we bring that into all of our technology, but in particular, obviously, into our cloud operations.
Yeah, let's spend some time talking about just how the whole world of global logistics and supply chain have changed since 1997, since you joined. And have you spent most of your time in the supply chain space or also in other areas?
Yeah, I have a relatively checkered background, having done most everything there is to do in the software industry. But most of that focused on supply chain solutions in one way, shape or form. I mean, it really has changed enormously. I often say that we're going through the biggest single change that we've seen in supply chain since the introduction of the standardized shipping container. And that really is a confluence of a lot of different pressures and a lot of different capabilities. So those two things together, you know, the shifting global market, the internet, the movement towards direct to consumer, the rise of e-commerce, I mean, all of those sort of business pressures, globalization, all of those things are intersecting with new technology capabilities like AI and ML, of course, IoT, 3D printing, all of those technologies together create a lot of capability to address this massive shift in the way supply chains are now being managed, operated, and optimized.
Yeah. So how has Oracle's supply chain solution and suite changed over time? I mean, when would you really seriously started taking that space seriously and really started to develop supply chain solutions for a particular use case?
Well, you know, I think it's important to note that Oracle has always been in the supply chain business in one way, shape or form. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had very strong planning solutions, very strong manufacturing solutions, great procurement, of course, order management solutions for, you know, many decades now. Many of our customers are heavy duty manufacturing customers, a fact that may sometimes be forgotten in Europe and in Germany, but we're very, very strong in supply chain industries and have been for a very long time. For me personally, I would say, you know, we made some core acquisitions about 15, 20 years ago, where we acquired, a leading transportation provider, G-Log, which is now the core of our Oracle Transportation Management solution. That truly is the world's leader in transportation software. We also made similar investments in PLM software with Agile. Also, we expanded some of our planning solutions, supply chain planning solutions with our Demantra acquisition. These were on-premise solutions, but they really did, I think, position ourselves as being able to provide strong capabilities to otherwise non-Oracle customers. We have a great many SAP customers using those solutions. And that really, I think, helped change the way we thought about supply chain. Supply chain being not just an extension of ERP, but supply chain being a capability in its own right that, and an area that we can legitimately, compete with best in class solutions. So that was really somewhat of a transformational move for us in regards to supply chain. At the same time, we were going through, a lot of other acquisitions, and then gradually we got into this transition towards cloud. And so one of the great things we could do as we moved into this, new world of cloud and SaaS is to take that learning, that expertise, that best-in-class knowledge and fold it into our previous understanding of supply chain, our previous capabilities in supply chain. So, a couple of examples. We acquired the RPLM solution, which was really a very strong product lifecycle management capability, Agile PLM. And as we looked at that, we understood that our understanding of how to think about integrated quality could really be enhanced. And so we had the opportunity there to look at kind of closed loop quality management, integrating the PLM solution more effectively into the manufacturing and inventory processes. And similarly with transportation, we had the opportunity to look at, how could transportation work more effectively with warehousing, with asset management, and really provide a very integrated set of capabilities. So, that expansion of our expertise, if you like, with a few key acquisitions, transformed into a much more holistic view of how to build supply chain solutions for the cloud.
Yeah, and how is the situation today if I'm a sort of a virgin, a newcomer to your to the business? So I run no Oracle application, let's say, and I decide to go for Oracle Transportation Management, for example. How important is that I have other parts of the suite or the Oracle ERP or other parts of the business in order to be as powerful as, in other words, if I'm an SAP customer, I'm an Infor customer, but I really appreciate, I really want one of your solutions. How well does that one solution integrate with other pieces I already have? Or am I better off just ripping out the nervous system, starting from scratch? Like, talk to me about this sort of balancing act between, going all in on one vendor versus picking and choosing the best suite from each of the vendors and going best of breed, with each application.
That's a great question, Boris. I think that, every company is a little bit different. And I think it's important to recognize that, different companies have, different challenges, different opportunities to improve. And that for different companies, there may be certain areas where a focus is important, more important. So, for example, they may want to look at their transportation spend. They may want to accelerate their ability to innovate new products. So they're looking for some kind of new innovation PLM type solution. So every company is a little bit different in that regard. So we have worked very hard with our cloud solutions to make those suitable and usable in really any environment, any ERP environment. And so they can be, leveraged in that way, regardless of what the back-end ERP is. There are obviously some, sensible rules around that. There's certain things that, make more sense to work together. But in general terms, our solutions, are adoptable by folks that have existing investments in other platforms. And we absolutely encourage that. But I do think that it's important to think long term. As I mentioned earlier, this kind of tactical approach to a transition to cloud has its challenges. You could end up with a set of solutions that don't work, very well together if you just take your decision step by step. A best-in-class solution in cloud is no better than a best-in-class solution on-premise. In fact, in many respects, it's worse. You're not in control of the update cycles. If you're getting new releases every two or three times a year, you could be faced with an update of your of some components and other of your platform once a month, or if not more frequently. You're also missing out on one of the main advantages of cloud, which is to shift the responsibility of integration, technology, and so on from your internal folks to your software provider. If you're really still in the business of integrating a whole series of cloud solutions, then you're going to have to make those investments to make that work. Mm-hmm. And so the net result of that is a erosion of the fundamental value proposition of cloud, which to my mind is to transition the investments that a company makes from technology support to business process change. Business process change is the hard thing, and that's what the business needs to focus on. But technology management is the thing that your cloud provider should do. So, as folks make this transition, what I always suggest that they do is they say, look, what's your end goal? Where do you want to be? Where do you want to get to? That may take 5 years, it may take 10 years, but where do you want to be? And make sure that if you take a step to select a point solution, that you understand what the long-term implications of that are. And that, it does honestly make sense for you. Now, in my opinion, the answer is usually, the fewer cloud providers you have, generally speaking, the better.
Yeah. Complexity.
The answer may not be one. We understand that at Oracle, of course. But, if the answer is 10, that's probably not a good answer. So as you make each of these decisions, one of the great things about, choosing something from Oracle is that you're not closing yourself off from the option of a very small number of cloud providers. We can provide most everything if you choose. Whereas if you choose a point solution, that may lead you into a position long-term that, doesn't really make total sense. So very long answer, I know, Boris, but net-net, we want to meet people where they are, that we want to provide solutions that make sense to them for where they are. But we also want to emphasize the advantage of that longer-term path towards an integrated platform.
Makes sense. If you look across your different supply chain applications, is there a particular application that lends itself very well to playing well with other systems? Or is there a system, is there an application that's particularly popular, let's say, with SAP customers, for example? They're not created equal, right? Some are easier to integrate than others. Talk to me about some applications that are just prime targets to be integrated even with other systems, if that makes sense.
I think the poster child for that is transportation management, really. It has some characteristics that do lend itself towards independent deployment. So Oracle Transportation Management, which is available 100% on the cloud and also on-premise for those who still want that, that solution is widely deployed amongst many non-Oracle customers, many SAP customers. It is the leader in the industry from a capability point of view, but the aspects of the functional domain lend itself to separate deployment. And so, quite often transportation's run by a separate group. There is that aspect to it. There are relatively clean integration points associated with transportation. So, it is a great example. Having said that, though, if you look beyond that, you can start seeing ways in which things like demand forecasting, supply chain demand forecasting could integrate with transportation. So, better forecasting of your demand profiles can then lead to better forecasting of your transportation requirements. Sourcing, how you source transportation can be integrated more effectively into your broader sourcing aspects. You could look at, as we have already done, how to integrate transportation into warehousing and broader-based logistics. So, for example, if you were to use transportation and our warehousing solution, they interact so that through the use of IoT and geofencing, the incoming truck can trigger activity in the warehouse. You can pre-position the workers to remove the stuff from the truck. So you start looking at much broader sets of value that can be delivered with a digitally connected, broader business process. And, you know, that's really the message that I'd want to communicate, which is, you know, start anywhere, but then look, there's broader business value that's possible. And you know, you asked me earlier what the trends are in the supply chain. I think that is another major trend, which is that the value is not out of an individual point solution. It is how those point solutions interact across broader business processes.
Yeah, hence my question around, you know, how well do Oracle solutions talk to other systems? And I would ask the same question to SAP solutions, right? Because Absolutely. Ultimately they're built to be worked and to be used inside that particular ecosystem. But more and more people are not interested in one singular ecosystem, right, from one vendor, but they want to pick and choose. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, I think what people are interested in is the ability to support a broad-based, digitally connected business process. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really the goal. It's not like I must have variety in my software vendors and therefore everything must work together. It's the working together that matters.
Yeah.
And if you can achieve that with, a relatively few number of software vendors, then I believe your chances of success are much higher. Mm. And as I mentioned, you can also look at that trade-off, moving some of your internal expertise into implementing those systems and evolving those systems, as opposed to just wiring them together. That is essentially a non-value-added activity.
Mm-hmm. And if we can take your Oracle Transportation Management, the one as you described as the poster child, the widely used, the sort of your bread and butter, so to speak, in logistics supply chain. Talk to me about some of the innovations that have happened with that product in the last 5 or 10 years. What's been the stuff that's just a game changer?
5 or 10 years is a lifetime in the software business, well, of course.
I can say 2 years, but 2 years have been so crazy. Take 5 years.
One of the great things about cloud is that we deliver, 4 major releases of every piece of our software every year. On average, in supply chain alone, we deliver at least 200 new innovations every quarter. So the pace of change is very high. If you look at, warehouse management, transportation management, I think some of the major enhancements, we've incorporated a lot of machine learning logic in that application. So recently we have used AI machine learning to better estimate lead times. So if you can shave an estimated 2 or 3 days off your lead time, that's essentially money in the bank, because that's money that you're not investing in movement inventory. So through the use of analysis of lead time patterns, we're able to recommend a more aggressive lead time, including also causal factors such as weather, seasonality, and so on. So that's a recent innovation. We delivered a new network modeling capability that can let you look at your network and optimize the structure of that network. And that's increasingly important. I mean, networks have to change and evolve as buying and logistics patterns change, whether that's driven by changes in sourcing strategy or changes in selling strategy. Your networks are going to continue to evolve in a more rapid way. So again, network modeling is a new capability we delivered. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we have integrated our WMS solution with our transportation solution so that you have this integrated logistics capability to really, think about that entire business process, not just, transportation in isolation or warehousing in isolation, but how those two things need to mesh effectively together.
Yeah. How do you make sure you develop software that the world actually needs? I mean, how do you stay on the pulse of what your customers really, really want? Because I can imagine if you're And you've been, you know, number one, two, or three in that space for decades now, right? It's easy to sort of rest on your laurels, maybe become a little bit complacent, and maybe, I mean, it's one of the criticisms, right, that any customer has of large corporation. Well, you know, in the beginning, they really listened to us, but now they sort of lost their way and they're kind of complacent. What's your recipe for staying relevant, for developing software that is actually needed by your customers? What's your approach there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best large corporations are really made up of a lot of little corporations inside them. So, you know, we have our software group. Within the software group, we have a transportation group, and they stay very close to all of their customers. And I think that's an important aspect of, you know, just, you know, staying focused. Now, I would also say that cloud and SaaS is a major component of that. It's really helped enormously in accelerating that feedback loop. If you look at traditional software development, such as, you know, I did for many years, you know, you think up a new feature, you design it as best you can, you build it into your software. You know, maybe that takes a year or 18 months, you know, then it gets delivered to a customer who may decide whether he's going to upgrade or not. That may take another year or 18 months. And eventually, you know, 3 years later, you get some feedback. Now, on cloud, SaaS, certainly with our approach, which is four releases every year, we get a much faster turnaround in terms of feedback. So we're able to understand, you know, what we did right, hopefully, what we didn't do right, and put that right very quickly. So that's an important aspect of that innovation cycle, the acceleration of that innovation cycle is a very important aspect. And the other important aspect is that we kind of know much better what people are using. We're able to analyze our fleet and see, you know, not the details of the transaction, but the, you know, what transactions are being used, what features are being used. We can analyze that much more effectively, and we can look at aberrations. You know, why is somebody overloading this thing? That, you know, we can look at that, or we can look at why is this feature not being used, and, you know, what's the problem there. And so that ability is an intrinsic part and one of the key advantages, I think, of cloud. And if I just may say, the third advantage is, you know, a little bit of a, you know, a internal criticism of the history of the software business. But, you know, if you're a software developer and you know you only get one shot every 18 months or 2 years, you make sure you put everything you can into that thing.
Right. Yeah.
And the net result of that is usually some things you wish you hadn't put in there, and obviously quality issues. So, you know, if the cycle is more, you know, frequent, then you miss a train, you just get on the next train. And that creates, I think, a much more healthy approach to innovation, continuous innovation. And that's really part of, you know, our core mission at Oracle is this idea of continuous innovation. Continuing to deliver features in a non-disruptive way, and in a, you know, regular cadence, building that into our development process, building that quality in. And so, you know, and in course of all of that, I know your original question was how do we stay close to our customers? You know, there's obviously Customer Connect, which is an Oracle capability of joining to our customers. We run regular workshops. We have regular meetings with our advisory boards. All of that continues and folds into our, you know, software development processes.
Yeah, maybe as a follow-up, a more concrete question to that, let's go back to OTM. I keep going back to Oracle Transportation Management, but it's widely used, and I know a lot of people that use it, and I've heard a lot about it. Let's use that as an example of the regional differences that can occur. For example, truck transportation in Europe is dramatically different in many ways than truck transportation in the US market, for example. How do you make sure you're really building, for Europe, you're building a software and a solution that services the European truck market the way it needs to be served, as opposed to a solution that tries to work everywhere, for example?
Yeah, I mean, it's by working closely with great customers. You know, Unilever is a great customer of ours. You know, Tetra Pak is another great customer of ours. There are many great customers that are based strongly in Europe where we work very closely with them and understand what those requirements are. I obviously, you know, and that's true across the world too. I mean, obviously, truck transportation is important, but so is, you know, so is rail, so is you know, river transportation, so ocean, and, you know, working closely with customers in every region and ensuring that we you know, build those requirements into our products.
And John, you also, I saw you're sort of a weird double role. And just so you're leading the supply chain management, you know, software part or software arm, so to speak, but you're also the chief sustainability officer of Oracle, the corporation, right? So tell me about that. How did that come about?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, a number of years ago, one of my staff, and I'm talking almost 20 years ago, one of my staff came to me and said, you know, look, the sustainability thing, I think there's something in it. We should be responding to this. And, you know, so I gave him, you know, a bit of a leave of absence to research into that and understand what was going on there. And it became really clear to me that, you know, as a software company, forget about as a citizen and as a member of the planet, you know, it clearly was important. And we had a major role to play in helping companies drive towards a more sustainable future. And so we created a structure around that. I proposed to our then CFO, Safra Katz, now CEO, yep. You know, that we invest in this area. And she basically said, well, who should lead it? And, you know, she preferred to have somebody who had a strong foot in the product segment. That was ended up being me, and so I became the CSO. It's been an absolutely fantastic experience. I would say that the intersection of sustainability and supply chain is 100% natural. Right. You know, if you think about the things that really, you know, cause challenges, but also can make a difference. Most of those are in supply chain areas. I mean, we do deal with the real world in supply chain. And if we're going to improve the real world, a lot of that is going to be done through supply chain improvements. So, you know, that is a great intersection. And what I've seen really over the last few years is just an explosion in the focus and importance of thinking about sustainability in a corporate sense, in an organizational sense, and in particular in a supply chain sense. And so, you know, the number of inquiries I get and, you know, the number of interest in how our supply chain solutions can help with sustainability initiatives has really increased dramatically.
Yeah. So did I understand that correctly? You started this 20 years ago? This is how long you've had that?
You know, I'd have to put a number to it. It's between 15, probably 18 years ago when we first started looking at this seriously. And I've had this role for about 13 years now, I think, something like that.
Yeah, interesting. So you were maybe one of the first ones with that title in that industry. I don't recall.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah.
Early...
Yeah, no, I think the thing that was really seminal for Oracle was we acquired Sun. And when we acquired Sun, you know, we acquired a substantial physical supply chain.
Right, yeah.
So multi-billion dollar business building complex server equipment and so on. And so they already had a relatively mature approach towards sustainability. So that was also a very helpful catalyst to, you know, having us, you know, having us think about what that meant for us, you know, as a high-tech manufacturer. But then at the same time, you know, how can we translate that into solutions that we can bring to the market and help other companies go on this journey as well.
Yeah, and if you look back at the last 13 years since you've been in that role, what's the number one, your biggest accomplishment that you've been able to accomplish in that role?
That's a great question. I mean, if you go back, you know, Oracle, I think, always has done better than people gave it credit for, or that we were willing to communicate about. We were very reticent about expressing what it is that we do. You know, not just in a sustainability sense, but also in a, you know, in a broader ESG sense. We were one of the first companies to give benefits to same-sex couples, for example. We've supported the Diane Fossey Gorilla Foundation for 32 years. we have a high school that we've developed and built on our main campus in Redwood Shores, which we funded entirely. We do all of these things, and we don't tend to talk about them very much. So one of the major things that I did do was to really focus on communication, and that not just outside of Oracle, but inside of Oracle too, to our various stakeholders inside the company. But I would say, the biggest single, and part of that, by the way, was just getting over the idea that it's okay to talk about what we're doing. It's okay to engage in the Carbon Disclosure Project, and when we first did it, get a C rating. You know, that's okay, because next year we got a B, and now we have consistently gotten an A. And so, so that was a transition that was important. Most recently, the thing that I'm most proud about is Safricat's recently announced our goal of being 100% renewably powered in our data centers and real estate operations by 2025, which is obviously a pretty aggressive target. So 100% renewably powered with our OCI data centers and our real estate operations. So, when we did our materiality assessment, which essentially says what's important to Oracle as a business, cloud, SaaS, what's important to the environment, energy, clean energy, those two things obviously go completely together. Mm-hmm. And so by getting that commitment that we announced recently, I think that was, that was my most recent, most proud accomplishment.
Yeah, awesome.
There's more to go, obviously.
Yeah. And does your role also not only extend to initiatives inside of Oracle, but also outside? So with your customers, for example, you're also working jointly together with them to improve their sustainability and their carbon footprint and things like
Absolutely.
That? How does that look like? How do you do that?
Well, whenever we talk about sustainability, I always have to think, well, are we talking about Oracle as an operating entity or Oracle as a service provider and a solutions provider?
Right.
So those two things obviously bleed one into the other. If you, for example, move your compute to the Oracle Cloud, you will almost certainly improve your greenhouse gas position. I mean, we run a very energy efficient, low emissions, sustainable, circular cloud. We talk about the clean cloud. So that's a no-brainer. Move compute to Oracle Cloud, and that helps the environment. But also, obviously, in the applications we deliver, so having better planning, better transportation management, product innovation capabilities that build in design for environment phase gates, all of those things, we always try and think through where is the intersection of sustainability and business functionality and build those into our applications. We run an awards ceremony every year. I've done that for a number of years now with Jeff Henley, where we acknowledge the things that people are doing, usually with Oracle technology of one sort or another, to improve their sustainability position, and use that as a vehicle for encouraging others to do the same thing, to learn and to do more. So it really is a very positive thing.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a lot of complicated politics around sustainability, particularly in America. But in my experience, corporations, get it. They want to do the right thing. They want to look for solutions that help them do that. And they're increasingly making the investments to make that happen.
Yeah. And they're also going to increase it, right? It's going to get even more important over the years. We're just at the beginning of all of this. I think this is going to take off in a major way.
It's a long way to go. It's not going to be an easy journey, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But the will is there, and the capabilities are there too.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting double role. I wanted to double click on that. I saw that and I found that interesting, so I might as well have double clicked on it. John, thank you very much for the conversation today. Very much enjoyed it. I hope our listeners did too. Thanks very much for taking your time.
Well, thank you very much, Boris. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
So, das war der BVL Digital Podcast mit John Shawley von Oracle. Ich hoffe, euch hat's gefallen und ihr seid in der kommenden Woche wieder dabei. Denkt dran, den BVL Digital Podcast zu abonnieren, damit ihr keine der kommenden Folgen verpasst. In diesem Sinne, bis zum nächsten Mal, euer Boris Felgendreher.